I had made up my mind this morning that I was going to follow my doctor's orders to the limit. And following his orders to the limit is that I preach from that stool back there. But I don't believe I can do that again today. I thought I was going to, but I just felt a little nudge going on. You know what I'm saying? And when you feel that nudge, you better take advantage of it. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to try to preach from right here for a while. I took my pill a minute ago. It got me about half hyper. It gets my heart rate running so fast sometimes, it about runs away with itself. If I get a little hyper, why, you know what's wrong with me, all right? Well, I want to preach to you again this morning out of Psalm chapter number 40. If you'll turn in your Bibles there, I want to bring a thought God's laid on my heart from that passage of Scripture. And reading two verses, the last two verses in that chapter. And I've got the hand waving going on back in the back. That tells me that I need to put this little thing right here on me. I don't want to forget to turn it on. Amen. And so, Psalm chapter number 40. And I want to read verses 16 and 17 to you today. It said in verse number 16, David writing here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the time that we have to be in the Lord's house today. I thank you for the Sunday school hour, and a good time there, a good spirit, and a good singing. Thank you for your people and our visitors. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of God. I want to praise your wonderful name today. Let your name be magnified. God's given you a name that's above every name. And Lord, at your name someday every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that thou art Lord to the glory of God the Father. And I bless you for what you've done on the cross and shedding your precious blood for sinners like us, that we might rejoice in thee and have a promise of heaven, the hope of glory in our soul. I pray now, Lord, that you'll bless the preacher. Help me. I need your power, your unction, and I pray you'll save sinners. Open up the hearts of your people. Give them exactly what they stand in need of today as well. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, I'm going to be preaching, Lord willing, now that last verse in this chapter. It's where David said, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverance. Make no tarrying, O my God." I want to preach on that thought this morning. The Lord thinketh upon me. The Lord thinketh upon me. This is really in this chapter, this is the second time in this chapter that David reminds us of that great truth. He said over in verse 5, and I want to take time to read that in your ears this morning, you're hearing. He said in verse 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward." Thy thoughts which are to usward. And then David says here, he thinketh upon me. And the reason he does is because I'm poor and needy. You know, that is a wonderful, wonderful thought for you and I to know that the Lord is thinking about us. His thoughts never leave us. We are the apple of God's eye. We are the treasure of His life. In fact, He paid His life to buy this great treasure that belongs unto Him. And His grace has made us what we are. And in that we can rejoice and be glad in the Lord. And just as a father, just as the heart of a father is toward his children, so the mind of Christ is stayed upon those that are redeemed by His marvelous grace. As a songwriter said, and there's a great deal of truth in it, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. You realize that it was you and I that sent Him to Calvary? And you think He's going to the cross and give His life without thinking about those that He's shedding His blood for? Boy, I marvel at that. And He did it while we were poor and needy. Christ died for the ungodly. When we were yet without strength, the Bible said that Christ died for the ungodly. What a marvelous thing that is. And to know that as He sits at the right hand of God even today, that His mind and His thoughts are still to usward. That God is still thinking, the Lord is still thinking upon you and I today. How wonderful that really is. Now, according to verse number 5, His thoughts are wonderful. They're wonderful thoughts. He's talked about the wonderful works there. They're wonderful thoughts. And they're not only wonderful thoughts, but they are innumerable thoughts. You couldn't count them all. You could not count the thoughts or the blessings of God upon our life. If you tried to order them in number, it would be an unachievable thing. You just couldn't do that. You know, we're so far behind. People say, well, I don't know what I ought to thank God for. Well, you could start out for thanking Him for dying for you. Then not just dying for you, but visiting you in your sin and lifting you out of that sin and saving you by His marvelous grace. We could thank Him for preparing us a home in heaven. We could thank Him for the fact that if the house of this earthly tabernacle was dissolved, that we have a home reserved in heavens, not made with the hands of men, but made by the hands of Almighty God Himself. We've got a tabernacle yet waiting us over on the other side. Oh, there's a lot of things that we could thank God for. There is no, absolutely no doubt about it. Now, David said, He thinketh upon me. But here's the fact of verse 5. He not only thinks upon David. David said, He thinketh upon me. And I'm going to tell you, according to verse number 5, His thoughts are toward usward. In other words, He thinks about you and I as well. Boy, and I'm glad David put that in there. Had he not put that in there, I might have thought that God would have forgot all about me and you. But I'm glad, thank God, He's not forgotten about us. He thought about us when He died, but He thinks about us while we're living. And He can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, church. There is absolutely no doubt about that. He knows when your heart is broken. He knows when you're sad. He knows when you're grieving. He knows when you've got troubles. He knows when you're in trials. He knows all about you today. And the Bible says that while you're there, that He is thinking about you in that situation that you're living in right then. What a wonderful God that we have. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. The psalmist, and I want to mention the psalmist's condition here. I think that needs. The Bible said that he's poor and needy. And yet the Lord thinks upon him. Poor and needy, and yet the Lord thinks upon him. He does not think upon us because we're because of our wealth or wisdom. We don't have either. He thinks upon us because we're poor and needy. He does not think upon us. He does not think upon us because we possess anything that He needs or desires. But He thinks upon us because we are poor and needy. Hallelujah to God. Just the fact of our humanity. He thinks upon us. He thinks upon those. Doesn't think upon those who are wealthy. But those that have a fame in life like you and I would. In humanity, most humanity thinks about those people that have great possessions or their heroes or those that possess something in this life. Oh, you take the world out there. I mean, you know who they're thinking about today? They're thinking about the football season coming up. I'm going to tell you they're thinking about today. They're thinking about their top hero on the Wildcats team. They're thinking about the football season and the basketball season. They're thinking about their stars and who their stars are. And I'm telling you, the Lord is not thinking upon somebody because they have great possessions or because they have great wealth or great fame. God is thinking upon people because they are poor and needy. And by the way, I can take you to a verse where He said He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Hallelujah to God. That's where He found you and I, the dunghill. Oh, come on now. But I'm glad, thank God, He was willing to go into that dunghill for an old sinner like you and I and lift us out of that and cleanse us in His own precious blood. Now, if you can get a hold of that, I don't mean to sound off color today, but we had dung all over us. We had dung all over us, but He came to where we were. Praise God, and brought us out of that and cleansed us in His own precious blood. We were poor and needy, and yet He was thinking upon us. Say amen right there. That's right. I'm telling you a fact. Now, some of you may not believe that, but it's in the Bible. And I can show it to you if you really want me to, but I'm not going to take time to do it now. But he thinks upon us. Now, I'm over here just as fast as I can this morning. Really. But I want to mention, first of all, as being poor and needy, David sees the evidence of his sin. Being poor and needy is the spiritual condition of all sinners. Now, I want you to get a hold of this now. I want to say this to you before we go any further. What really troubles me is we're living in the Laodicean church age. And you know what that Laodicean church said? They said, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But the Lord said, you don't realize that you're actually poor and wretched and naked and blind. He said, you're poor and needy and don't even realize it. Come on in the house now. And we're living in that hour when people think that just because they've got a little of this or a little something else, that they don't need anything. But I'm telling you, spiritually speaking, we are living in spiritual poverty and we're poor and needy. But yet, being in that condition, God still thinks upon you and I. Woo! Don't have to be a king to be thought upon. That's right. Don't have to be a great man to be thought upon. God thinketh upon the lonely, and upon the humble, upon the poor. I tell you, in His earthly ministry, the poor gladly received His word, and those that were rich and wealthy turned it aside. And I tell you, they're still doing it today, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't going to be many rich people enter into the kingdom of God. Somebody said, how do you know? Because Jesus said there wouldn't. Amen. But you take an old poor country boy, or an old poor city boy, or city girl, country girl. Amen to God. God's thinking about you this morning. Amen to God. That's what makes His salvation so wonderful. Now, I want you to listen carefully. As being poor and needy, we are robbed of His wealth. If I could illustrate to you Adam this morning in the Word of God, Adam was doing fine. Would you agree with that? Adam was living in a perfect environment. Adam had absolutely need of nothing. Nothing. He was living in a perfect, innocent environment. But he had need of nothing. But two thieves came upon him there in the garden. One of them called Satan, and the other one was called sin. And Satan and sin robbed him of his wealth and left him poor and needy. Somebody said, well, did he realize he was poor and needy? Absolutely. His conscience, his own conscience showed that and proved that by the fact that him and Eve took a few little old fig leaves and tried to sew themselves some aprons and cover up their nakedness. His conscience told him that he had sinned against God, that he had lost that wealth, he had lost that blessing. Amen. And he tried to cover up his own sin. But here is the glorious thing of that. While he's standing behind a tree with fig leaves about his nakedness, God come walking in the cool of the day. Said, Adam, where are you? Said, I'm over here behind this tree. Well, what are you doing over there? He said, I'm naked. He said, who told you we're naked? Said, you ate of that fruit I told you not to? Said, well, the woman you gave me, she ate it. He said, what is this you've done? And she said, well, the serpent beguiled me. He passed judgment on the serpent as well. But here's the thought I want to make to you. There was a man in a perfect environment, had absolutely need of nothing, and yet he sinned against God and tried to cover his own sin. And while he was in that sinful condition, poor and needy and without God, hey, he didn't go looking for God. Amen. God come looking for him, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I'll tell you, that ought to make us all get up and run today. When we were poor and needy, we didn't go looking for him. But thank God he come looking for you and I. Praise God. Amen. Just like he sought out Adam in the garden, he sought you and I out. Amen. Amen. Didn't have nothing on but fig leaves. But you know what? He said, I'll get a sacrifice for you. Amen. He took that little old sacrifice and covered him in skins. Sheepskin, I believe. Amen. I believe the blood was still fresh on it. That's right. They didn't go looking for that righteousness. Hey, he covered them in. Whew, that's another thought. He covered them in his righteousness. They didn't go looking for righteousness, but righteousness come looking for them, amen.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, when Jesus covered them in the garden, they were made righteous, hallelujah, yes, to God.
Yes,
amen. And I don't know any sinner who's poor and needy that ever went out looking for God. Now, you can call me whatever you want to call me, but the Bible clearly says there's none that seeketh God, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And don't tell me you went out looking for God. I'm going to tell you, somebody said, well, I come to church looking for Him. Wonder who made you come to church. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying. Listen carefully. It was Adam's conscience that made him throw those fig leaves together. But I'm going to tell you something. When he heard that voice, God said to the Lord, said, where are you, Adam? He said, I'm over here behind this tree. He said, how do you know? I said, what are you doing over there? He said, I'm naked. Oh, here we go. His conscience told him that he had a need. And I'm going to tell you something. When he heard that voice, it was more than his conscience. It was his conviction from a holy God set in upon his soul. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, if you've ever heard God's voice, and you know you're poor and needy, and you've sinned against God, and you're on your way to a crossless eternity, I'm thankful, God, when God calls, you better answer, friend. Hallelujah. I bet I turned that water over, didn't I? No, I didn't get it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Now, while he was covered himself with fig leaves, the Lord come looking for him. Why? Because he was thinking about old Adam. That's why. Adam was his creation, his crowning creation. Do you realize that we are God's crowning creation? Everything he created, he waited to last to create man. And made man got his crowning creation. Gave him authority over everything. Oh, and made him in the image and the likeness of God. That's the only creature he created that he made in the image and the likeness of God. Now, I'm a whole yes. Somebody said, well, do you believe in a triune God? Oh, yes. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I had a fellow call me on a marathon one time. He said, you folks down there believe in three gods. I said, no, I don't believe in three gods. I believe in one. He said, well, you talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I said, oh, yeah. I said, one God manifesting himself in three persons. He said, sir, I'm just here to tell you. He said, that can't be. He said, there's one God. And his name is Jesus, and he's all of them. And I said, well, I'm going to ask you something. I said, where are you going to go when you die? He said, well, I'm going to heaven. I said, the minute you die, you're going to heaven. Well, sure, I'm going to heaven. I said, what are they going to do with your body? He said, they're going to bury it. I said, man, that creates a problem for your theory on Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If God can't be a Trinity, how are you going to tell me you're one? How are you going to be in heaven and in the grave at the same time, yet you're going to tell me that God can't be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost at the same time? You telling me man can do more than God can? Oh, no. Hey, it is the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Manifested, amen. One God manifested in three persons. Now I'm going to tell you, they're all equal in attributes of power, and they all play a role in your salvation.
Amen.
You were sanctified by God the Father, preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ, and called by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's right. Thank God. Now let them take that and smoke in their corn cob pipe. Thank God. And so he was robbed of his wealth. What about that man that went down to Jericho? The Bible said there was a fellow who left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho and fell among two thieves. Fell among thieves. And they stripped him. They wounded him. They robbed him and left him there. And there come a priest. That priest looked on. Never did a thing. That Levite come by. Never did a thing. But there come an old Samaritan walking down that road. And he saw that man in the ditch. Wonder why that said a certain Samaritan. I wonder why it was a certain Samaritan. Tell me that Samaritan wasn't there for no accident. That Samaritan is the type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm telling you why that old boy was stripped and robbed and wounded and among them thieves. I'm here to tell you that, hey, the good Samaritan was up yonder thinking about him. being poor and needy as he was in that ditch, and good to nobody. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord just loved to save nobodies. I'm going to say that. We're a big fat zero, all of us, but God loves to save big fat zeros, and I like to eat them. Woo! Say amen right there. Hallelujah. I said, you're nuts. I might be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. Amen. That's right. That old, just old boy fell among thieves, and they wounded him and stripped him and robbed him and left him for dead. And while he was laying there in that ditch, the Lord was thinking upon him. He thinketh upon me, David said. I'm poor and needy, but he thinketh upon me. No wonder in the verse above that, he said, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I thought you said nobody seeks the Lord. That's after he's saved. You will seek him after you get saved. I'm going to tell you, he come looking for me, he sought me, and he found me. Amen. And friend, ever since he found me, I've been looking for him. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Better believe that's right. I'm a sick. Amen. I want to see more of him. I want to see more of his grace. I want to see more of his love. I want to see more of his mercy. I want to see more of his power. I want to see more of him. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Paul said after he'd been saved for years that I may know him. Amen. That's right. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Bless his wonderful and holy name. I'm a looking for him. Thank God. That's right. Amen. I would tell that zero candy bar message, but y'all heard it so many times. Come on. Amen. Well, it wouldn't be no good to tell it today. You've heard it so many times, but I like it. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell it. I'll never forget that day. That night I went over and talked to Miss Patton and Bebo Jones. On the way back, I stopped in one of them little old, I don't know, 7-Elevens, whatever they was back then, Circle K's, I don't know. What were they? Huh? Quick Pick. That's it. Quick Pick. I walked in there and headed down toward that soft drink counter, and I walked by that candy bar row. Had a lot of candy. About that time, I heard something say, hey, bud. I said, who's talking to me? I looked down the zero candy bar and said, I am. I said, well, he said, you remember me? I said, sure do. He said, well, here I am. He said, I found you tonight. Now, here I am. I said, all you got to do is reach out and take me. I said, aw. That was when I was a kid. A candy bar seemed to say, you remember how good I taste? All that caramel, that nougat. Do you remember? I said, oh, I remember. And he said, all you got to do is reach out and get home. He said, now here it is. He said, I've already apprehended you. He said, all you got to do now is apprehend me. I said, that's when I was a kid. And I was walking back and got that Pepsi out of the case. When I walked by this way, that candy bar said, hey, Dumbo. Me? Said, you got one more opportunity. Better reach out and get me. That candy bar apprehended me. And it did. That candy bar didn't stop working in my mind when I went back to that Pepsi guy. When I came back, I looked at it again. And about the second time, I said, all you got to do is reach out and take hold of me. It apprehended me. And I'm going to tell you, I said, praise God, I will get you. And I apprehended that zero. I didn't wait to pay for it. So I said, what are you saying? I'm going to say, that candy bar apprehended me, and then I apprehended that candy bar. That's exactly what happens when you get saved. Christ, love, and beauty, and grace will apprehend you. But I'm going to tell you, you'll spend a life trying to apprehend him, and he's a whole lot bigger to apprehend than what you are, but he's a whole lot bigger than what you are. Amen. Amen. It'll take you longer to apprehend him than it did for him to apprehend you. I'll say that. I've been trying all these years, and I ain't got the full job done yet. Hallelujah. That's right. That old boy was ruined in his livelihood. He was poor. He was needy. But yet God thought about him. What about that prodigal son? The Bible said that prodigal son took the portion of his goods, had need of nothing. Nothing. He had all that he needed to last him the rest of his life. But the Bible said that he went down into a far country. And there, he wasted in substance and spent it all. You know what he did? He became poor and needy. And he attached himself to a man of that country went out and started feeding swine. And would have eaten the husk that the swine was eating. But he just couldn't pull himself to do that. But suddenly a thought run through his mind. And the Bible said that he come to himself. Wonder why he come to himself. He didn't come to himself by self. He come to himself by someone else. When that Holy Ghost, he said, what am I doing down here? He said, here I'm down here in this hog pen, said the servants of my father's house. God better said, I'm just going home and tell my father that I'm sinned against him and against God, and just make me like one of the hired servants. But I'm gonna tell you, when that boy got home, you know what he saw? He saw an old gray headed daddy standing out there on the porch. When that old dad, wonder what he was doing standing out there. He must have been looking for him already. And so he saw it, and the Bible doesn't say he waited on that boy. But that old gray-headed daddy ran to meet him and fell on his neck and kissed him. Went in and said, hey, let's put the ring on his finger and the robe on him. Put the shoes on his feet. Kill the fatted calf. Let's eat and drink and be merry. For this my son was lost and is found. Now, I'm going to tell you, Walter, you listen to what I'm telling you. When that poor boy, when he was poor and needy down in that hog pen, the Father was still thinking upon him. And David said, he thinketh upon me. And I'm going to tell you, friend, when we were lost and without God, in the hog pen of this world, rooting in the slop with the hog, God was a thinking upon you and upon me. Oh, now I can't get over that. When I was vile and wretched and undone and lost and ungodly, God was still a thinking about me. Hallelujah. Poor and needy. That means that needy, I had nothing. What can man offer God? What can we offer God? Nothing. But it'd take me a long time to tell you what He can offer us. Woo! He's got a whole lot to give you and I. Life. Life. Can you get a hold of that life? And I tell you this, and I know we're on the air, and I wasn't even going to tell you this, and I'm probably no one going to tell nobody out there. But it's on my heart, so I might as well say it. Life. Isn't life wonderful? Amen. You better take advantage of it while you can. I saw my heart doctor Friday. He was going over the things there and the blood tests and one thing, and he sitting in his chair, and he turned around and rolled around on that chair and rolled right up to where it was and looked over them eyes, and he said, Mr. Hall, he said, I got something I want to tell you. I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to realize that this Parkinson's disease is what's causing all these other problems you got. And he said, I just want you to know that what you have is not going away. And what you have is not going to get any better. But he said, I want you to know this. And here's what really struck my heart. I said, whoa. He said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, we're going to try our best to give you the best quality of life we possibly can. In other words, he's saying they're going to try to help me feel as good as I can till time rolls around to go. But I'm going to tell you what, when he said we're going to try to give you the best quality of life we can, I thought in my own heart, I said, Doc, you can't do that. Christ beat you to the cross. Amen. He come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Amen. He said, you take that pill 30 minutes before you eat, you preach off of that stool. He said, if you don't, he said, I'm telling you, head over trouble. Well, I guess I'm head over trouble. Hey, man, because there sits the stool, and here I stand. Hey, man, who can sit down on a stool when Christ, no, when God gets on you? How can you sit on a stool to tell people about God? Amen. Ooh. Hallelujah. Life, that's what He can give you. That's wonderful. And life is the word cherishable? Is that a correct word? Thing that we have is life. Nobody wants to die. I don't even believe those who commit suicide really want to die. I believe they just, something goes in here. I don't believe they really want to die. Well, it's instilled into the heart of man to live and fight as long as he can. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't intend to lay down and play dead. God give me life, and I'm going to utilize that life as long as I possibly can utilize that life. When the time comes that I can't utilize it no more, I think I'll be one of the first to know about it. And I'll tell you about it. Don't you try to tell me about it. I'll tell you about it. I'm not interested in looking for no replacement. You understand what I'm saying? Amen! Some of y'all died on me. You're the one that's dying. Praise God, I'm living. Well, I just began to live. I just began to live. When Jesus came and saved my soul, I just began to live. Woo! Amen, that's right. Now, he spent all he had. He came to himself, but when he realized that the Father was still thinking about him. I thought about myself when I come home from Vietnam, Brother Troy. How wicked a man can be and his mind so depraved and as low as not. I'm telling you, I'm glad y'all didn't know me then. But oh, when I was that way, there was a thrice holy God in heaven that was thinking about me. I think that's more than I can comprehend. I wasn't looking for God, but on that Sunday morning I sat down in that pew and I was like a lot of folks. I said, I shall not be moved. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, when the Holy Ghost got done with my heart, I'm ready to move. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I move forward. And because there come a day in my life when I move forward, there's coming another day in my life when I'm going to move upward. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, I'm going up to where Jesus is. You better believe that. Saved by the grace of God. Heaven bound, hammer down. Going to heaven, ain't that the devil? Nobody else can do about it. Amen. And I say, you think I'm happy and rowdy and shouted down here? You ain't seen nothing yet. Look at her sitting over there looking over her nose at me. She thinks that's got to need to be in that stool, don't she? When I told her, I said, I'm going to preach in that stool this morning, she said, I'm glad you're finally following that doctor's advice. In the back of my mind, I said, don't count on it. But I may have to. If I do, I will. If I feel like I have to, I will. I wonder how it would look. Let's see how it looked. Praise God, the stool. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Jerome.
I'll cool him off.
That's wonderful. I'll go back here and get my water. Amen. Then he not only saw the evidence of sin, but he saw the estimation of himself. He was not a bit ashamed to admit to the fact when he said, I am poor and needy. I'm okay. You can say, thank you. When he saw himself, just like Brother Gray talked about in Sunday school, Isaiah saw himself. David saw himself and said, I am poor and I am needy. He was conscious of his need. The consciousness of his need is a condition of its removal. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say now. Until we feel hunger, we'll never eat that living bread. Until a man gets hungry, he'll never eat. And I'm going to tell you, when I come in last night, I kept eating. Miss Hall said, great day. I ate 3 bowls of salad and about 6 pieces of pizza. She said, how much of that salad you going to eat? I said, I don't know. I might eat a whole bag. I'm hungry. You know, when I left that day, I wasn't very hungry. I ate 2 sweet little round sweet pears. But I'm going to tell you, when I got in that night, I was hungry. And I went looking for food. And I'm telling you, when a sinner gets hungry, they'll go looking for bread, thank God. Now I'm going to tell you, God got some warm loaves in the oven. Amen, right there. How am I doing? Thank God, my stool. Doing all right. Amen. Thank God. I kind of like his brother. I kind of like his brother, Herbert. Amen. Thank God. I feel like a kingpin sitting up here now, boy. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what one of the problems is? Men fall asleep. You ever heard of a man falling asleep when it's cold and frosty and snowy? And he becomes insensible to the cold and they just sleep the sleep of death. That's what the problem is with men's conscience today. Their conscience needs to be stirred up to the fact that they're poor and needed. And are you listening to me? I want you to listen very carefully. Listen very carefully.
Adam became conscious of his need, the fig leaves. The prodigal came conscious of himself, went to the Father. I became conscious of my sin, and I went to the Lord. Hey, confession of this need is well pleasing to God. It indicates our humility. It measures us by the Lord and not by others. And continuing in this need of being poor and needy, I want you to listen. Amen. What I'm getting ready to tell you, it'll make a spiritual pauper out of you. And friend, you can mark this down. Hey, to die a spiritual pauper is fatal. You die poor and needy, you're going to hell without God. Say amen. You've been saying amen all along. Say amen right there. But I'm telling you, a man or a woman that dies in that spirit, in that poor and needy condition, will burn in hell all their life. Amen. Amen. You die a spiritual pauper, poor, needy. I'm going to tell you what we need. What a sinner needs to do is be made rich. Somebody said, how can he do that? By coming to Christ. Though he were rich, yet he was made poor, that we might be rich in him. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that he traded all the riches of heaven that he might give it to you and I. Can you get a hold of that? All of the riches of heaven. He gave it all up for you and me. And now we're heirs of God. Heirs not with God, of God. He is our inheritance. And we're heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. That means everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me. Say amen right there. Amen. Then I want to mention this last thing. I see here an expression of solace. He said he thinketh upon me. Brother, I'm going to tell you, if that don't bring comfort and solace to our heart, to know that he thinks. He thinks upon me. Somebody said, what does he think? Well, he thinks peaceful thoughts. Here's what David said, or Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. I want to get out of this chair. Let me ask you something. What are you expecting in the end? Amen. Hole in the ground? I'm expecting a hole in the sky. You expecting an earthworm to devour your body and soul and spirit? They may get my body, but I've got news for you. There's already a new body. And I want to say this, you can like it or love it, there's already a new body fashioned in heaven, waiting for my soul and my spirit to move into that new body. Amen to God, that's right. And you take this like it or lump it, don't matter to me. When I got saved, they didn't have to set another place at the table. Praise God, mine was already there. Say amen. Amen! Somebody said, how do you know that? I didn't, but God did. What? Thank God didn't know that, you'd have to call him ignorant. That's right. Now he thinks pleasant thoughts about us, not evil. He thinks good things about you. Folks, and I'm not trying to glorify sin, and I'm not giving us a license to sin. But you look back through the Bible and all those people that belonged to God, all those that were poor and needy, all those that he looked down upon, like David, a little old shepherd boy. Abraham living down in the land of Ur of the Chaldees. I could go on and on and on. When he looked down on them, he had some real pleasant thoughts about them. Even though David sinned against God and give him a year to repent, God was willing to send a preacher by and said, David, thou art the man, what are you going to do about it? You know what he done about it? He repented and got right. Amen. You know why he repented and got right? I'm not giving nobody license to sin. But I'm telling you, for that whole year, that David was away from God living in that sin without it being confessed. That the Lord was thinking about David. Now I'm telling you, when we get out of sorts with God and sin against God, God don't cast us off. God never forgets us. He said, I'll never forget you. God's still thinking about us. Praise God. This stool ain't bad, boys.
Amen.
Gotta like this thing. I might start preaching out of this, sis. You might want a battle. Amen. I see the folks just smiling about it. Now listen carefully. He thinks about us when we're being tried. I'm about done now. When Daniel was in that den of lions, and it wasn't a lion's den. A lion's den might have been empty. It was in a den of lions. There were lions in there. I heard somebody say, well, God just shut them lions' mouth. What did he do about their claws? I'm going to tell you what he done. He tamed their spirit. Just like he'll do in the millennium when the lamb and the lion will lay down together. No, Daniel just laid down on that lamb, on that lion, and said, well, I think I'll take a nap. And the next thing he heard was that king hollering, oh, Daniel, has thy Lord delivered thee? He said, the Lord whom I serve has delivered me, O king. And said, I've done you no harm either. And the king said, go get that bunch of sorry devils that ratted on him. He brought Daniel up out of that den, throw that crowd in. You know what? Them lions wasn't so tame then. The Bible said they ground their bones. You can hear, their bones popping, boy. They was biting on them. Ain't that right? That's right. But while Daniel's faith was being tried, Daniel said, put me in the den of lions. Ain't going to make no difference to me. I got faith in God. Said to God, whom I serve will deliver me. Just like them three boys in that fiery furnace, they said, God will deliver me. But if he don't, said, we're still not going to bow down. Faith. I tell you, when your faith is being tried, he's thinking about you. When you're walking through the valley, he's thinking about you. Well, when you're in hard times, he's thinking about you. When the old pocket looks low, he's thinking about you. When there's bad thoughts in your brain, he's thinking about you. When you're thinking evil of yourself, he's thinking good about you. His thoughts are to us worth. He's thinking about me, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Praise God. Am I getting too rowdy for some of you? I won't say he thinks about us when we're tempted. What about old Joseph? That woman said, come lie with me. And old Joseph said, time to deed him out. If you don't know what deed him out means, that is Vietnamese for time to move on rapidly, quickly. Exit, stage right. And there he was being tempted. But I'm going to say God was thinking about it. Somebody said, well, he wound up down in the prison house. Oh, yeah. But while he was down there, the Lord was still pleased with him and thinking about him while he was in the prison house. But he came out of the prison house and went to the king's house. Now I'm going to tell you, you may have to be tempted and walk through that valley. But I'm telling you that while you're there in that temptation, that God's thinking about you. Somebody said, can you prove that I can when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness? My Bible tells me that the Lord sent his angels and they ministered unto him. That's Bible. I didn't say that. That's Bible. Amen to God. That's right. He thinks upon us, folks, even when we're tried. Even when we're tempted. God's thinking about us. Now I'm closing right here. No, I'm not. Yeah, just about. He thinks upon us when we're in tears. In Genesis 21, when Abraham put Hagar out, God spoke from heaven. Said, Hagar, why weepest thou? Why weepest thou? There's a little old girl been kicked out. And I put it this way, her husband. Sarah gave her to Abraham as a wife. Her husband kicked her out. Give her one bottle of water and a boy. Kicked her out. When the water was gone, she just sat down under a little shrub tree and put the boy about a bow shot away and sat down and began to cry. God said, Hagar, why are you weeping? Are you getting what I'm saying there? She's sitting there thinking that boy's going to die. And thinking she's going to die too. And God speaks from heaven and says, why, Hagar, why weepest thou? And here's a catch to it. While she was sitting there in tears, God was thinking about her. I think about Brother Brown's family. I wonder how many tears they've shed. But oh, while they're in tears, God's thinking about them. I won't say this, and I hope it don't offend nobody. Miss Sharon's sitting out there right now in tears. Now, I'm going to tell you something. She may be out there in tears, but there's a God in heaven that's thinking about her. He's thinking about me, thank God. Even when I'm brokenhearted and in tears, God's thinking about me. That's wonderful. And I'm going to tell you what God done. Said, why weepest thou, Hagar? And he opened up her eyes and she saw a well of water. Now, that well had been there a long time. Didn't say he dug a well for her. Said he opened up her eyes and she saw it. What's wrong with some of you? You just need your eyes open. You need your eyes open. God, to that well of water. Get you a good fresh drink. Amen. Miss Hall left Jesse and she said, now you going to preach anything in the morning? What are you going to do? I mean, you just going to preach or what? I said, well, I'm going to preach. She said, well, you better be getting something ready. I said, okay. I about had it ready already. I just got it readier. And this morning, I set it on the stove and turned her full blast, buddy. I got the water boiling. Amen. That's right. Got the water boiling. Now, I'm telling you, God got to stirring in my soul. And he reminded me that when I'm tried, when I'm tempted, when I'm brokenhearted and the tears are flowing, he still thinks upon me. There's Brother Brown's family down there, probably in the house of God this morning. That big hulk of a man always sat over there on that side, on that what we call the Amen corner, and sat there, buddy, before the preaching started. Now I'm telling you, I imagine all of them, several of them is looking at that corner and he's gone. And there's probably tears down their cheeks, running down their cheeks. But I'm telling you, that with tears on their face, God's still thinking about them. Hallelujah. I remember when my mother and father-in-law died, I told my wife last night, I said, honey, I sure would like to see him. I meant that. I said, I sure would like to see him. I said, I'd like to go back to Papa and Granny's one more time and sit down with a cup of coffee. That's like it was in old times, and sat there and drank coffee and talked all up. She said, honey, we got a while to wait. I said, yeah. But I said, it'll wait on us. Because it's coming again, friend. I'm telling you, tears may endure for a night, but joy! Oh, praise God. Joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. And while we're in tears, he thanks upon us. What a great Lord we have. Now I'm going to tell you something else, and I'm done. He thanks upon us while we tarry here below. Right now, while we're sitting in this room, his thoughts are to usward. He not left us, Brother Herford. He's thinking about us. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes he gets heartbroken over us. Do you think that it thrills his soul to see us go through all these calamities of life? To see sickness and disease and affliction and all this mess come upon his people? No, it doesn't make him happy. He sits there and sheds tears over it like he did Lazarus. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day when those tears of his will be turned into joy. He died on the cross despising the shame, but for the joy that was set before him. Ooh, I'd like to get out of this chair right now and run a little bit. He's rejoicing. Maybe in tears now. But it'll wait. Because he's thinking about us. And there'll come a day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible said this, I didn't. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a great Lord. There'll be no more weeping, no more sickness, no more pain. Somebody said, that's a fairy tale. If it is, don't tell me about it. Somebody said, you're dreaming. Don't wake me up, friend. Heaven's real. And it's my home. And somebody said, how do you know it's real? Because this morning I feel a tug. I got an anchor inside the veil, and it ain't an anchor that pulls you down. It's an anchor that pulls you up. Can you get a hold of that? That anchor pulls you up. That's a strange anchor. It's not holding you down. It's a... You saying, even so, come Lord Jesus. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And he that cometh said, now come quickly. Amen. And he will. He will. He's coming, ladies and gentlemen. While we tarry here below, he's thinking about you and me. His thoughts are to usward. He's thinking about us this morning. May God bless you. Let's stand together.